You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, August 26th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Last week, OnlyFans, the social media site best known for adult videos, made the surprise announcement that it was banning sexually explicit content on its platform. But now, in another surprise twist, the company says it's reversing course. On today's show, our reporter Georgia Wells will explain the back and forth and the tension between content creators and the platforms that host them. That's after these headlines. The Chinese ride-hailing giant Didi is delaying its plans to expand in the UK and Europe. People familiar with the matter say the decision is partly due to political and regulatory scrutiny facing the company in both China and the UK. In China, officials are conducting a cybersecurity investigation into Didi. And in the UK, members of parliament have raised concerns that the Chinese government could use Didi to harvest data from British riders. The delay to Didi's expansion plan is being seen as the latest illustration of the uphill battle that Chinese tech companies face in Western markets. And Salesforce reported a 23% jump in revenue for the most recent quarter, as companies continue to embrace cloud computing in the hybrid work era. It's the company's first earnings report since it completed its purchase of the workplace communications app Slack, as part of its push to become a more formidable rival to Microsoft. All right, coming up after the break, why OnlyFans is backtracking on plans to button up content on its platform. That's next.
There's no better feeling than being in control of your work, your personal life, and your future. If your drinking habits are impacting that sense of control, there's a personalized and private way to help you manage how much and how often you drink. Vorvita is a web-based program that uses tools and techniques based on cognitive behavioral therapy to help identify triggers, break negative behaviors, and develop healthier responses. If you're ready to rethink how you drink, learn more at us.vorvita.com.
During the pandemic, the social media platform OnlyFans saw a huge rise in popularity. It's a place where subscribers can pay for access to premium content from creators, be that workout videos or even adult content. But last week, OnlyFans made the surprise announcement that it was banning sexually explicit content on its platform, a move that caused quite a bit of backlash since the platform is kind of famous for that kind of content. Then, yesterday, OnlyFans said it was suspending that plan to ban sex videos. So what is going on here? And what does it tell us about the relationship between creators and the platforms that host them? Our reporter Georgia Wells is here to explain. She's been covering this for us. Hey, Georgia, good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so for people who maybe haven't heard of OnlyFans or maybe have only heard it referenced in a Beyoncé song, where did this platform come from? What is it and how did it get so popular?
Yeah. So OnlyFans, it was started in 2016 by this British entrepreneur, Tim Stokely. It's basically a subscription social media site that allows adult content. So it's like an explicit version of Patreon or Substack. It took off very quickly in the creator community because when people subscribe to a creator's feed, 80% of that money actually goes to the creator. So it took off among the adult entertainment creators very quickly. Then what happened when the pandemic began is suddenly we've got the whole world, you know, bored, alone at home, turning to their devices for entertainment. And so that growth, it just took off during the pandemic. And it became a household name in a way that I don't think we've ever seen an adult entertainment platform kind of break into the vernacular.
And that relationship with adult entertainers was kind of intentional. Stokely actually sought them out in the beginning.
Yeah. So in the early days of OnlyFans, Tim Stokely emailed adult entertainment stars with a pitch. It was, you know, hey, if you have 2 million followers and 1% of your followers pay you $10 a month for exclusive content, then you could earn $200,000 a month on OnlyFans. It's quite unique in the extent to which here he was brute forcing signups and kind of tailoring these pitches to people. Tim realized that adult entertainment stars were underperformed and had this ability to capitalize on these followings that they were building. Like, often there were these middlemen, like studios or directors or other people who were taking this really big cut. And he saw that there was an opportunity for these stars to like interact directly with their fans and make money off of that. And I mentioned before that OnlyFans allows creators to keep 80% of the revenue that users pay. That's a level that's unheard of in the adult entertainment industry. One creator on OnlyFans, Ayla, she told us that she was able to pull in as much as $100,000 a month on the platform.
It was life-changing. Before that, I had been sort of like slowly growing a retirement account, but really worried because with sex work, you've got an expiration date, a very slow, sad expiration date. And that was really stressful for me because it's like, you know, I've committed my whole life to doing sex work. And it's not like I have clear job options otherwise. Like, I'm sure I could make something work, but it's still this strong not knowing. But with OnlyFans, I started finally making enough money that I realized, like, hey, I could probably retire in a few years if I kept this up. And that was a huge relief. I stopped worrying about my expiration date quite so much.
You know, all that said, though, OnlyFans has actually been on a push to diversify its content lately. The platform is best known for its sex content, but that's not the only way creators are using it.
No, there's also fitness creators, kind of chef creators doing instructionals on OnlyFans. The content does tend to have a sexy slant, if not a sexual slant. There's lots of fitness creators who do their workouts wearing like basically thongs and very little clothing. What I'm trying to say is there's lots of content that isn't sex. Also, Rebecca Minkoff used OnlyFans to show creators behind the scenes at New York Fashion Week. That, again, that's not sex, and that was a kind of new use case for this platform where people could pay to get this, like, more intimate look at something that they're already interested in.
Got it. Okay, so I think all that brings us up to last week, and that's when OnlyFans made the decision to ban sex videos. This was a really surprising move for the company. What was their reasoning?
Yeah, so it was surprising because they're banning the content they're most known for. And our understanding of what happened is there's a few issues at play. One is OnlyFans said that their banking partners were asking for changes as well as payment payout processors. And so that means both the companies that OnlyFans is doing their own banking with, but also the company that is in charge of taking that money that OnlyFans receives from viewers on the platform, from subscribers, and giving that money to the creators. So what's weird here, though, is OnlyFans has always had this sexual content. So that shouldn't have been news to their bankers or to their payment processors. But also last week, the BBC reported about incidents of child exploitation and other kind of rule violations on OnlyFans. And so our understanding is that this has increased the amount of scrutiny that these types of transactions are getting. And so these bankers and these payment processors, while before maybe they were okay with it, suddenly they were like, yikes, this is a little bit hotter than we intended.
Sure. And that's on top of the fact that this area of sex and sexual content is a little dicey for financial companies to begin with, right?
Yeah. So there's legal concerns about processing money for illegal transactions since 9/11. You know, banks and payment processors have done more to crack down on money flows that could be funding illegal operations. There's also sometimes morality clauses at play. So, for example, when companies are raising money from investors, often those investors will have a no vice clause. And the reason for that is investors, often they're, you know, investing the money of pension funds and universities and other, you know, big entities who really, like, they want a good investment, but what they really don't want is a PR problem. And so universities and pension funds, they don't want headlines that they're investing in sex or drugs or, you know, historically illegal activities.
Got it. Okay, so OnlyFans decided to ban sex videos last week. What was the response like from creators on the platform, like Ayla, who we heard from before?
Creators I spoke with said they feel betrayed. OnlyFans has been their source of income. They've built businesses based off of this. And then suddenly they were looking at a future in which they were suddenly going to have to recreate their entire businesses and turn to other platforms. Many of them were really scared. Here's Ayla again.
I anticipate I'm going to make a lot less money now. I anticipate everybody who is working on OnlyFans, who was relying at all on explicit content, is going to see their income drop. I think even people who aren't relying on explicit content are going to see their income drop because, like, total traffic to OnlyFans is going to drop. And I'm not looking forward to that. I'm like, I'm going to have to look at alternatives. I'm likely going to get back into in-person sex work after this. And I'm going to focus much more on, like, distributing my platforms and my income and not relying so wholly on one website.
So some pretty strong pushback there before OnlyFans decided to change its mind. Is that what motivated the company to nix those plans to ban sexual content? What changed?
It's hard to say, but on Wednesday morning, OnlyFans said that they had secured the assurances necessary. So that implies that they've reached some kind of agreement with their banking partners and their payment processors. We don't know exactly the details, but I could imagine that those conversations are still happening at the highest levels at OnlyFans right now.
So let's talk about where OnlyFans is now. Is this back and forth likely to harm their relationship with their creators moving forward?
Many creators I spoke with said that they're considering a competitor called Fansly that I had never heard of before. But this matters for OnlyFans because we're in this incredible kind of creator economy boom right now, where social media platforms just across the board are all scrambling and kind of there's an arms race to win over talent, to create the talent necessary to win over the audiences that these platforms want. And so we've seen before with other social networks like Tumblr that creators, it's not a given that they're going to stick around. So this is a kind of sensitive, vulnerable moment in OnlyFans' relationship with its creators. And so I'm really curious to see, are they sticking around? Will they head to other platforms? What is OnlyFans' growth and retention going to look like over the next few months? But for sure, we can imagine that OnlyFans is doing a lot of thinking right now about how to reassure their community and how to communicate to them that the creators that they built their business on are the ones that they want to hold on to.
And, you know, Georgia, you mentioned this sort of creator economy taking hold. Is there a broader takeaway here about these sorts of relationships between platforms and creators? What's sort of the lesson learned for OnlyFans?
OnlyFans is pushing the boundaries on how big an adult entertainment platform can get and how much scrutiny they can survive. And so they have gotten really big, and this has brought all this scrutiny onto them. And so, yeah, they're like figuring out whether or not they can survive this era. But also, there's a question of content moderation and illegal content and their ability to detect that content quickly and take it off. The agreements they work out with their bankers and payment processors will likely include questions around that.
All right. That's our reporter, Georgia Wells. Thanks, Georgia.
Thank you so much.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening.